One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, June 14th, and we are back in Texas, and we miss you, Raleigh and Charlotte. Thank you for the fun couple of days we've had with y'all. Y'all really, well, we said, Raleigh was a barn burner last time, and they didn't disappoint this time.
Same with Charlotte.
And they the CLT. Were. Oh.
Yeah, the CLT. The weather was so much nicer than what we came back to, so certainly. That was good. Probably 15, 20 degrees cooler there.
Oh, yeah. When I went running on the rail trail, shout out Charlotte for the trail that runs along their train tracks, and they were like, we'll call it the rail trail with a straight face and print signs. but I was like, my mile time was faster, and I was like, oh, it's because it's not 1,000 degrees outside. You're I was like, my body's
trying not to die.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm functioning like regular. So thank you for hosting us, North Carolina. And if we're coming to a city near you, we're going to come to Ohio next, Cincinnati, and we'll be in Cleveland and Toronto in July. So make sure you go to get some tickets to that so you can party with us in Ohio, too.
Yeah, we're talking about our Full Moon Energy Tour. It's a show that we do not release on the main feed. You got to come see it. And even if you saw it last year, we've changed a lot around. So there's a lot of new stuff. But even if you've seen it, and there's a little new stuff like our banter and all that stuff's always fresh. So,
oh, yeah.
Both of these shows, we both said several jokes and funny things that we had never heard each other say before. And that's why I love doing the show is we could do this show like 50 times, but we still surprise each other.
We do. That's like that's the fun of performing with you in general is just like trying to make you laugh. Like, and I know if I make you laugh, the audience is going to love it. So it's a fun game we all play together.
Well,
so
oops, all FMK vampire puppets nearly did me in. So that was a very good one.
Thought you might have enjoyed that. Well, thank you very much. And yeah, if y'all want to know what we're talking about, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows, get your tickets, and come see us talk about all the freaky stuff that has to do with the moon. And come see us in person. Man, the Q&As live are so much fun, talking to everybody, interacting with everybody. We do them on the Patreon chat, which is so fun, the virtual version. But like seeing somebody in person, it's like we get to meet. And even if you're not in the Patreon Q&A, just meeting listeners, it's like meeting our virtual friends in real life. We get so excited.
Yes. And we talk about everything moon related, the macabre, the mysterious, what really happened during the Apollo missions. It's basically everything you like about the podcast, but centered around the moon and in front of a live audience. It's a ton of fun. Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. We got Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas left on this tour.
Can't wait. I can't wait to see all of your beautiful, shining faces and do what I told the lady at the souvenir shop in Charlotte when I realized I got to work on the marketing. I was like, hello, I have some questions about your city. My friend and I travel the country and talk on stage. We tell about scary and weird things about the moon. And she was like, who are you? So
travel the country like we're selling like snake oil.
I'm like, do you want to know what the moon can do for you? Come out. We got a wagon in the back. I'll show you. So anyway, yada, yada, yada. Thank you for everybody for hosting us. We had a really good time.
So much fun. And shout out to our bestie Nelson from the Ghost Guild who was there and in the Q&A. And there was some networking that went on with the Guild and some others. And I'm very stoked. And also, looks like George Brown might be coming on a ghost hunt.
Oh my gosh. Tommy's dad on a ghost hunt. Is all I want in life, honestly. Like, I'm now manifesting it, so it's gonna happen. So we're gonna have our official Ghost Guild buddies, and then fucking Cowboy George Brown. Like, fuck yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait. So
it's gonna be a hoot.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun. That's the magic of travel, is we don't know what adventures we're gonna get into.
No.
And much like all the stories that everybody sent today, these run the gamut, as we usually say. But once again, all of you have not disappointed with your submissions. Made us
Absolutely.
Think, made us happy, made us sad, made us laugh in some, and made us almost cry in others.
You got it all. And we met so many people
yes.
that said, I sent in my Freaky mm-hmm. Friday story, or this was my story, and we love putting a face with the name. So if we see you at a live show, and you've sent one in, and we've read it, or maybe we haven't read it on the air, but there's a good chance that we've still read it, let us know, because we love knowing what you guys look like in real life.
Hell yeah. Face with a name. With our YouTube, now y'all know what we look like. But now we got to just go around, travel the countryside and talk about the moon so that we can meet you all.
Yeah. I got to work on my sales pitch. Yeah. And also, I got to go to an apothecary and get some shit, I guess, for this
my
wagon.
Elevator pitch is a little alarming. I'm going to work on that.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, this first one, I believe, is from your daughter. However, she spells it Ann-O-Moss.
You know what? I let my children spell their names however they want.
Well, this one, I appreciate that we're getting creative now.
Thank you,
Love
dear.
It. Well, Ann-O-Moss, this one is titled, I Killed Him. And Ann-O-Moss writes, Hi, ladies. I love the community you both have created and look forward to listening to you on my drive to work. I'm a nurse, and for my first job, worked in a busy medical surgical floor. I had patients from all walks of life with a range of diagnoses. People detoxing, withdrawing, needing antibiotics, end of life, needing long-term placement, and mental health crisis, to name a few. The best way to explain med/surge is trying to wrangle a bunch of cats as people scream your name while also trying to put out the biggest dumpster fire. Okay, I've painted the scene, I think. One thing you get taught in nursing school is to never put yourself in a situation where your exit is blocked with a violent or unpredictable patient. One day, I got a report on a patient. We'll call her Susan. And I'm told she had not spoken to anyone in 3 days and was just standing and staring. The patient always has a constant companion, which is a healthcare provider who keeps the patient safe while others are out of the room. This particular shift, I had the best constant companion on with me. She is one of the gentlest souls I know and calms all those around her. We will call her Jenny. I gave Jenny a quick report on Susan and started my shift. At some point during my 12 hours of battle, Jenny rang for me. I went into the room and she told me that Susan had started to whisper, but that Jenny couldn't make out the context. Susan was standing on the side of her bed with an empty stare, looking through me. All of a sudden, she sprinted to the door and slammed it shut. I'm trapped, I thought to myself. I tried to put myself between Susan and the door, but she used her body to push me into the opposite corner of the room. At this point, I was panicking. Susan started getting closer and whispering, just loud enough for me to hear. I didn't mean to. I killed him. Thankfully for this baby nurse, I had Jenny with me. Jenny slowly encouraged Susan away from the door. This went on for 30 minutes, It felt like hours, though. I didn't know what to do with this new information, but I asked my charge nurse, and she told me to report it to the provider, which I did. Later in the shift, Susan's adult children came to visit and asked how her day was going. I didn't give them exact details, but told them she did talk a little. I went on to ask what Susan was like before coming to the hospital, and the chills I had that day still come back when I think of this. Her children told me she was a loving mother and she was a home healthcare worker. They said right before she was admitted, she had a patient unexpectedly die, and it really devastated her. Susan went into this catatonic state, and that's why they brought her in. Again, I reported this to the provider and ended my shift a few hours later. The next time I came in, Susan was gone, and no one knew exactly where she went. I never found a news story to match, but I think about Susan often. So a gentle reminder to all, be kind. Every single person on this planet has a story, many of them heart-wrenching, that they rarely share. I have been a part of thousands of stories, good, bad, and horrific, over 7 years as a nurse. Much love to you all, and keep it creepy.
Well, and I may be biased because I have multiple nurses in my families, but bless you and bless all nurses, because just the idea that that's part of your training is that you might have someone run at you. You know, you might find yourself in an unsafe situation, and the heart that you still have with it, which is be kind, understanding that none of the folks are trying to charge at you because they're mean. You know, it's because it's an unpredictable patient, whether it's through, you know, a medical issue, a mental health issue, whatever, to keep that sweet heart that you still have, despite, you know, having to, like you said, the good, bad, and horrific. Bless you for doing that.
Yeah, that's it's really sad to think that whatever went on with Susan, intentional or unintentional, it surely affected her to the point where whatever happened, she felt responsible enough for it to cause like a mental break. And I hope very much that she went on to get the help she needed and that the story with the patient, that was all cleared up too. And maybe it was a misunderstanding that she was not responsible for. That's what I think best case scenario.
Right. Try to be hopeful with something like that. Because, of course, you hear your patient say, like, I killed him without further context. But it's even more devastating because it's not a brag that she's saying. It's like a rueful regret. And for to be in a catatonic state and that's all you can grab for is really heart-wrenching. But hopefully, I mean, it's good to hear that she had adult children that were still in her life and were, you know, showing up, asking off after her and all that good stuff. But having a constant companion like Jenny and having you, it sounds like she had about the best care she could get.
I didn't know about these constant companions, but I love that. And that, while Jenny is a pseudonym, Jenny, whoever you are a saint. Because, and anyone that's a constant companion or works in any capacity with patients and people this way, you got to be a certain type of individual with a certain demeanor, that caring, empathetic, warm, but also if you got to be stern, you can be stern, but getting people to warm up to you. So thank you all of our nurses and anyone that works in the public in this capacity, because it can't be an easy job, but it's one that's necessary. And we appreciate those that are willing to do it.
Amen. Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, this next one is from Mel, and it is called I Survived a Campus Christian Cult. Mel writes, I started listening to your podcast during the pandemic shutdowns, and I just want to thank you both for bringing me so much joy every week. I hope to catch you the next time you come through New York City. I don't know how much you already know about the abundance of South Korean cults beyond the Moonies, but I want to share my experience with a lesser-known group that also planted roots in the U.S. When I was in college, I was approached by a friendly Korean woman in the student center who asked if I was interested in studying the Bible. I will call her B. B was a PhD student and seemed trustworthy, and at this point, I was still young, naive, and desperately looking for connection. I had also already internalized from growing up in the Baptist church that it was grievously wrong to ever deny Jesus, so I agreed. We met up in the library for a few weeks to study together, and I grew to really like hanging out with Bea. She eventually invited me to attend an off-campus worship service with her. I was very interested in knowing what kind of group she was a part of and if I would find a community there. The ministry is called University Bible Fellowship, or UBF, an international organization that was started in South Korea by Samuel Lee and Sarah Berry. They describe themselves as a, quote, fishing ministry that goes out to college campuses to recruit new followers of Jesus. So this tiny congregation I was invited to was a mixture of Koreans and mostly white Americans. One family had started the ministry. The father was functionally the, quote, pastor, and he and his wife raised their daughters in the group. Everyone else was either a, quote, shepherd, someone who goes out to campus to recruit and teach one-on-one Bible lessons, or a, quote, sheep, people like me who were fished and brought in. The shepherds were either Korean missionaries or alumni of my school who had started as sheep and eventually grew into shepherds. In retrospect, when I arrived, they definitely love-bombed the hell out of me. But the more I attended UBF services, the more I began to realize that my own budding progressive values were not in alignment with the core tenets of the ministry. But there were a few specific things that set off my internal alarms. Chastising me for missing service if I decided to attend my family's church instead. Purity culture messaging and expressed disapproval of divorce. The Christian nationalist message behind their motto, quote, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Assigning sheep to give, quote, testimonies, where they were pressured to shame themselves for not being good enough for God. In one testimony, a sheep revealed his struggles with gay pornography, with the implicit message that the ministry was homophobic and did not support the LGBTQ+ community. And the most shocking, arranged marriage. One day, a white American shepherd just showed up with a Korean wife out of the blue that I had heard no mention of before. I then looked around and realized that all of the marriages in this group that weren't between Korean missionaries were white men and Korean women. Curiosity about this led me to finally Google the group. And y'all, I was definitely in a cult for 3 years without even realizing. Like Scientology, they don't show you all the weird stuff up front, because then you would never join. Apparently, UBF members practice, quote, marriage by faith, where pastors would arrange marriages between UBF congregants around the world who had never even met each other before. Many of these marriages were arranged between American citizens and immigrants. It was giving Christian mail order bride. There is more info out there about other cult characteristics displayed by the group, such as worship of the founders, problematic power relationships, spiritual abuse, etc. Seeing everything about UBF laid out and reading other people's, much more traumatic, experiences led me to step away from the ministry. I had a relatively easy out because I still had a life on the outside and was moving away for graduate school anyway. But it can be much more difficult for others who are more enmeshed to leave, especially if they grew up in the group. Some criticisms of UBF veer into racism and xenophobia, maybe as a trauma response. I want to emphasize that although South Korea has a cult problem, much of that is due to American interference as a result of the Korean War. And accidentally falling into this cult has not lessened my respect and appreciation for Korean people and their culture. Shout out to Blackpink and K-dramas. I was really curious about what happened to the group after I left, so I recently did some digging to find out what other members have been up to. I had cut ties with my shepherd, B, after I left, and found that she moved back to Korea after finishing her PhD. The pastor's daughters both married UBF men. A couple of other sheep left and moved on with their lives, but I think that campus chapter is still operating. I wish them all well. They only ever treated me with kindness, but knowing what the ministry stood for as a whole made it impossible for me to stay. If you read this, I just want to say thank you for witnessing my story. Your podcast is one of the things that has helped me feel less ashamed for falling into a cult while I was feeling vulnerable. Though I jokingly refer to this as my diet cult experience, I'm still dealing with the internal spiritual fallout. Watching the 7M documentary Dancing for the Devil and seeing the similarities between Shekinah and UBF is part of what triggered me to finally speak up about what I went through. Christy and Heather, much love to you both for creating this space to share our stories. Well, thank you so much, Mel, for sharing your story. And I think it's an important one because, like we've said before, and you mentioned it here, they don't show their ass all at once. You know, you gotta lure people in. It's the whole frog in the pot scenario.
Oh yeah. It's like when you meet a Scientologist, they're not like, it's a 7 billion year contract and you gotta give up your friends and family. They're like, we're gonna heal the trauma. You know, yeah. It's like any sales pitch, unless it's me. They're starting it off with, you know, the sweet stuff first. And yeah, if you're a religious person, you're feeling like you want a friend and someone is, not only will I be your friend and companion, but we can talk about the religion you already like. That's the really insidious nature, I think, of these new Christian offshoot cults, where it's not like they're telling you like Xenu blew up out of a mountainside, mm-hmm. or they're like, oh, I'm a star child from the Galactica galaxy or whatever. They're like, oh, it's the Bible. Like, you grew up Baptist, you know the Bible, but it's not in the Bible, but the real truth is that Samuel and Sarah must be exalted without, and it's like, oh no, it's not the Bible we're talking about.
Or it's, well, we're all Christian, unless you're gay. And then you have to repent in a testimony as if you've done something wrong and be ashamed of yourself. And we all know that that is very harmful and dangerous.
Yes. Or taking biblical verses out of context and going, mm-hmm. well, so you see, it says here that, you know, the shepherd should guide his flock. That means that me, as the pastor, should arrange your marriage. Obviously, that makes sense to you, right? And it's like, I think we have two different interpretations of that.
Yeah.
Also, the messaging here, sheep and fish are commodities to be bought, sold, traded, and slaughtered. And you are comparing the new people. I get the shepherd, Jesus, that's in the Bible. But the way that they're putting this out here, it sounds like an MLM.
Yeah, it does a bit. The fishing, like, you're specifically going out to find people that might be interested. However, you're doing it in a way that I don't think is completely transparent. And also, when you're fishing, you have an alternative motive. So, you know, if B isn't just in the quad hanging out and is like, hey, let's talk. And then it comes up naturally. Like, she's got a motive and she's got an intent and some numbers to meet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you almost feel like falsely lured into a friendship too.
Right. It's like, I thought this was based on like common interest and friendships, but you have like a quota to meet. And you're right. Mm. Fishing both for people in this case. And then also like when you're literally fishing, I'm not going out to give the fish a snack. Like, there's a hook underneath it to trap it. So again, the terminology I find very disturbing, but it's this screenshot we've got here. It's from Wikipedia, it looks like, but just a quick backstory. Is it? I mean, it started in 1961, so it's not mm-hmm. even anything new, but it says that ex-members describe control, spiritual control and abuse and cult-like experiences.
Well, Mel, I'm very glad that you saw the writing on the wall and you were able to leave without a lot of fallout. Mm-hmm. And I hope that if there are others that are still in it that feel the same way, that they're able to have a similar experience.
Yeah, hopefully the more, it's like you said with 7M and Shekinah, we watched that Dancing with the Devil documentary.
Dude.
And it's the same thing where it's like kind of in plain sight. And it's these very famous TikTokers are like, I'm in this church called Shekinah. Well, when we find out it's actually allegedly a cult is what some family members and now ex-members are saying. And I think if you went down the Dr. Yana Lalik, like, what are the cults checklist, like, it fits all of them. But it's bizarre that it's so overt that it's like, oh, yeah, we have it in the UBF partner with Wheaton College, which, if my Quiverful memory is correct, is where that guy started. Like, the guy that's like the granddaddy of Quiverful, he, Bill Gothard's kind of teaching came out of that area. So I wonder if there's some relationship with that. So if so, then the arranged marriage, you know, don't be gay, all that kind of stuff falls in with that Quiverful kind of teaching.
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't watched that Dancing for the Devil documentary on Netflix, I highly recommend it. It is upsetting. There's a lot of parts that are triggering. It is wild, though, like you said, that it's hiding in plain sight and it's still going on. Like, the people that are involved in this, this is all unfolding because this docuseries just kind of blew everything up. But so many people, like, have even commented on Facebook, like, I followed some of these people on TikTok. I didn't know that they were a part of this. And you really wouldn't. But then you see the other side of it where their family is just beside themselves with grief that they've lost their sister and daughter. And you realize, like, the ripple effect, like we talk about, is far and wide. And anybody that's a part of one of these things, when you leave, you've got somebody that will help you on the other side, your family or an organization. Like, there is help if you're trying to get out.
Yeah, there. You never want anybody to think, well, I better stay because there's nowhere to go. But I think, like, any good cult leader, this, what's his name, Robert, the guy that's in charge of 7M, has a significant amount of recordings of himself pretty much admitting to this behavior, kind of going, well, your family's going to really get pissed if we cut him off, so we can't cut him off anymore. So I guess go talk to your family. But make sure they don't say anything about the church. It's like, Why are you recording yourself, Chuck Dietrich? Yeah. The federal government's going to use this against you, but they all do it. So I'm glad that the light is being shown on Shekinah and 7M, and I hope a similar one will get shown on UBF. But you're not alone, Mel, and there's nothing wrong with you for getting sucked into this, because millions of smart people get sucked into all kinds of stuff because of exactly the reason why. Is they're trained to do it. Like, they're trained to suck you in. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, it's, they do get training on how to go out and do this. It's like a job would. So don't feel bad. And I'm glad that things that have been shared on the podcast and other people's story and topics has helped you feel like this was not your fault, because it was not at all.
For sure. Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, this next one is one of the most disturbing ones we've ever received.
It's
and
not
lucky
funny.
For us, it happened in East Dallas. So this guy walks amongst us, Heather.
I didn't even, the subject line, I couldn't have imagined. And it's my own daughter. Anonymous in East Dallas.
Yeah, Anonymous in East Dallas. So this one is very close to home. And the title is The Milkman of East Dallas. Anonymous writes, Hi, ladies. I love the pod and have been listening since COVID. It's awesome to have Dallas represented so well for once by you two amazing people. I never really thought this was a Freaky Friday story until I heard the bowling alley story from a few weeks ago. This story happened at a CVS in our very own East Dallas a few years ago, and among my friend group, this situation is infamous. I've had creepy encounters with men throughout my life. Haven't we all? But on this day in question, when I walked into CVS to pick up some diapers and baby shampoo, I had my guard down. I was about 3 weeks postpartum, hair a mess, hadn't showered in like 3 days, and I was pushing a stroller slash car seat combo with my baby sleeping inside. She was completely covered by a shade and wasn't visible at all. I was browsing the diaper aisle when a man quietly walked up to me. He was about 70, and he was substantially smaller than me. I'm a very tall person, so no red flags went up. I could easily take this guy in an emergency situation. As I was comparing diaper prices, I noticed out of the corner of my eye that he was quietly coming closer and closer to me. I asked, "Can I help you?" He looked at me for a second, then looked at the stroller. "Pardon the intrusion, but could you tell me if you're breastfeeding?" I stared at him. "Excuse me?" He continued, looking at me right in the eyes. "I'm wondering whether, if you're breastfeeding, if I could try some." "Try some what?" I said in disbelief. "Try some milk, obviously. I could definitely pay you for it," he said without breaking eye contact. I just stared at him in silence for a while. He continued to look at me. "Absolutely not," I said. He suddenly looked offended and came closer to me, raising his voice. "Well, I don't need it from the tap," he almost shouted. "I'd take a bottle if that's better for you." "Absolutely not," I yelled. "I'm getting the manager." As I started to walk towards the front to find the manager, the man followed me, saying, "I think you're overreacting. You can just say no. What's the big deal?" He then ran around one of the displays and in a calm voice asked me, "Well, can I at least see your baby?" And then he tried to pull back the shade on the carrier. I jerked the stroller away from him, saw the manager, and made a beeline towards him. The man turned around and ran out the front door. Ladies, I have never seen this man again. And yes, I have been back to that CVS since. At the time, I was honestly so baffled that I didn't even know what to do. The manager of the CVS was, and is, an absolutely lovely person, and he was extremely apologetic. But this was one of the weirdest and creepiest encounters I have ever had with another human being. I hope no one else in East Dallas has ever had an encounter with the milkman, but I am curious about whether he's a repeat offender. Thanks for reading. Would love to know your thoughts.
Well, if anyone's ever like, "What's it like to be a woman?" It's a man yelling at you, quote, for overreacting after he's like, "I don't need to suck your titty. Just let me have some of the out of apropos of nothing." That's what it's like to be told you're overreacting is just icing on the cake for me. Fuck this guy.
This is the grossest thing I've ever heard. If this is a kink for you or something, there's places on the internet where you can get that taken care of. But to approach a stranger that has her baby with her in a public place like a CVS, you can't do that, buddy. It's just like the fucking Home Depot guy. You can't go up and ask him, "Can I feed you?" And while our bellies touch,
yes.
You can't force your kinks on other people in a public place. That's just not okay.
Exactly. It's non-consensual. Like you said, mm-hmm. Put an ad up on whatever. There's probably like kinkfinder.com or something where you can like shop around, like an eBay for kinks. Go
there's
do it
for
there.
For sure forums and Reddits
for
if
sure.
You're trying to get some breast milk to suck on.
My other thing is like, this woman has a new baby. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have time for your bullshit, man.
No. And you're scared.
Yes.
I mean, it's 3 weeks after you have a baby, bless you for even getting out of the house. I don't even think I did. But then to be by yourself with your newborn and have such a creepy thing happen,
mm-hmm.
just having the baby there and knowing like I'm responsible not just for myself, who I feel attacked and like something mm-hmm. could happen, but you got this baby and then
to I'll lunch.
Be goddamned if you're going to take a look at my baby. I'll push your ass through that whole aisle of medicine. That will knock, you'll knock over a display before you get near that
every
shade
battery in the store
her.
Has flown away. God. Shove him into it. Yeah, no, I don't blame you, but I'm proud of you, Anonymous, for going back to the CVS. You're like, I won't be intimidated from my own CVS. I'm going back. And guess what, milkman? You better not be there.
No, and there's several CVSs in East Dallas that I frequent on a regular basis, mm-hmm. so I'm sure I've been to this one. I have a feeling that I know which one it is.
I was envisioning that it was the one adjacent to Whole Foods by the Lakewood Country Club, but that's just, my mind went there. I don't know necessarily that that's the
I
place
I was envisioning the one over by the post office.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it could easily have happened there as well. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, it could have happened at any CVS in Dallas. It's Dallas.
It's Dallas. Well, for speaking of, if you've been in Dallas and you've been approached, let us know. I mean, this person must be stopped. You can't go and do that to people. Yeah, we'll put his face on a picture and I'll put up flyers around town.
Do you think it's ever worked for him?
I hope not. Only because that would be a really sad situation. If the person like didn't want to do it and you feel pressured or you feel guilty or whatever, if you've got a thirst, dude, just go on Kink Bay or whatever it is, wherever you go.
Yeah, people sell their breast milk online for usually people that need it for their babies. But I'm sure there's also people that just drink it. So go hit up one of them.
There's a fascinating docuseries on Netflix. And one of the episodes is about like fitness health people that are obsessed with breast milk as a protein source. And like it has like vitamins. They think that it's like the best. Like they're like, why would I drink milk from a cow? That's so perverse. I don't see why people think it's okay to drink cow's milk and it's weird to drink human milk. And I'm like, I can't. Here, I don't have a counterpoint. Okay.
No. Yeah. I mean, they've got a point. And we are the only, I believe, only mammals that drink another mammal's milk.
Yeah. So, and not just one other mammal's milk. We're going lots of them. Cow, goat, sheep, camel, whatever's around.
We recently found out about camels. So
it's got a nip. Will Greg Focker it.
But if you, you know, if you're not into that, then you can't be approached and you shouldn't have to worry about taking your newborn out to try and buy formula and diapers while having some creep come up to you and ask you for something very violating and personal.
And personal, especially too, I don't need it from the tap. I'll take it from the bottle, implying was your original question if it was from the tap. But I say shout out to you, Anonymous, for telling this person, fuck you, I'm getting a manager.
Hell
and
yeah.
Making a beeline for the manager. And like Christy said, if you'd have knocked him over, you'd have been well within your rights. Don't reach for a person's baby unless it's on fire and you've got a, you know, a hose or something to put it out. Like, don't touch another person's kid.
No, and especially after you've buried the lead, buddy. If you, you know, if you've already said, hey, I'd like to suck on your tit for some breast milk, and you're denied, then it's like, well, can I at least see the baby? Fuck no.
No, you can at least get clubbed by this whatever CVS thing I have in my hand. It's like, you hit me with a thermometer. Yeah, we're to CVS. I don't know. I grabbed whatever was closest.
Oh, man.
Shout out Anonymous.
If you have been approached by the milkman of East Dallas, let us know. If this is a guy that we need to, get some pictures out, I'll take somebody down. I'm on some vigilante shit.
You Let's literally said in the car on tour, I wrote it in my notebook. You said, you're like, maybe there should be more vigilantes. I don't think you meant it, but the way you said it was just funny. I don't remember what we were talking about at the time.
Oh, I think it was Batman, wasn't it?
Maybe it was Batman. It was Batman. You're like, I don't know. Maybe we need more vigilantes. We probably don't, but it was just a funny phrase. It made me laugh.
You know what? When sometimes they're not all bad. Right. I'll just say that, you know?
Oh, well, thank you, Anonymous. And maybe we'll see you around East Dallas.
Yes. And hopefully that's all you see. We don't see this pervert again.
For real. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, this next one is from Nicole, and the subject line is Dream Phone Ouija Dupe. Well, it's time. I think 30 plus years is time removed enough for me to tell the story with only moderate to severe embarrassment. This is only because I share this embarrassment with three friends. Also, I have no idea if they listen because we haven't talked in years, but just in case, names have been changed to protect the guilty. But if they do listen, they will all know immediately who wrote this story. Anywho, setting the stage, it's 1992. Sarah, Lisa, Rachel, and I are in our waning days of eighth grade. We love smoking stolen cigarettes, Def Leppard, this is only mildly embarrassing, and spooky shit. We also would love to get our hands on a Ouija board, but we're all too poor or too Catholic to have one. Actually, I was neither. I was poor in parents not willing to buy me stuff just because I wanted it. But this story is not about my childhood hardship. What Sarah did have was a Virgin Mary prayer candle and the game Dream Phone. You remember the one. A bunch of date cards and a hot pink phone where some rando boy can ask us on a date or something. I don't remember the actual premise of the game, but it's not important. What is important is that we noticed some of those boys looked like varying degrees of evil, and from that realization, we created our own version of a Ouija. We would light the candle, turn off all the lights, and after shuffling the boy cards, we would lay them out all around the candle face down. And from there, we would take turns passing our hands over the tops of the cards and then pick the one that felt a certain way. Which way? Who the fuck knows? Hot, cold, vibrating, anything that we could come up with that might be the scariest of the bunch. Each time we started, we would make a list of who was assigned as the evil boys for that night. And then, as we picked our card, we would say, "If this is the Steve card, that Def Leppard, side eye, poster will fall down. If I get the Joe card, those balloons will start rotating. If Lisa pulls the Rob card a third time, we will hear a knock at the door." I know that one time we for sure heard a knock, but with the hindsight of 32 years, I'm pretty sure that was Mr. B knocking on the wall, either to get us to shut up or to scare us. Both are totally plausible. We would do this for hours, scaring the shit out of ourselves each and every weekend for at least a year. Looking back, it was some of the most fun I've ever had, but also now I feel bad that we arbitrarily picked boys who looked evil before we even got to know them, before they could even call us on the Dream Phone to ask us out. So, nothing spooky or major, just a fun little thing that some friends and I used to do that I totally forgot about until all the Freaky Friday Ouija stories came out. In other news, I cannot wait to see you guys in Phoenix. The show is on my son's third birthday, but I've been waiting so long to see you guys, and I see him every day, so hopefully people realize that's a joke. I will, of course, be there, but will also be the person crying because mom guilt and also seeing you live for the first time. Thank you for telling us all the stories and being such a champion for all the people who need it.
Nicole, this speaks to my soul. I read this and was like, is this me? Am I one of the girls that this happened to?
Honestly, reading that, like, we're hanging out. We smoke stolen cigarettes. We like Def Leppard. We made our own Ouija board. I was like, this was Christy.
All of those. Substitute Def Leppard with Guns N' Roses and Nirvana, and you pretty much have it. But I absolutely, and my friends and I would have done some stuff like this. And quite honestly, It's never too late. I might still do this.
Let's
this
get a dream phone game. Let's do it.
I remember that phone. In fact, I have a friend that probably like 10 years ago, we played this, and it is exactly how you describe. You just like,
there's, hey.
You pick up the phone and it'll be like, hey, this is Rob. What are you doing tonight? But then sometimes like they don't want to go out. I don't know.
Rob, what the hell? Because
they're evil.
You
obviously.
Called me. Yeah, they're evil. I have a version of this, but it's a Saved by the Bell game and you go on dates with Slater, Zach, or Screech. So maybe we can play that someday. But it's not Dream Phone, but we can make it. Yeah. Well, I think we all know that. Come on. But yeah, so
yeah, we're all fucking Screech, right?
Yeah, rest in peace. Honestly, he did. Oh, man, that's how you know you get old is these people from your childhood television shows start dropping or your dream phone game. You're like, 30 years ago, I was in middle school. But yeah, those right? memories, man, they stay with you when they get kicked up like that. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I always wanted a Ouija board, but I didn't have one. So we used dream phone. That's so
this
good.
This is so thinking outside the box, like – I love it. Like this, I feel like this is out of a movie scene. A Virgin Mary prayer dream phone.
Like,
we're making it happen.
Put your hands on the cards until it feels that way.
Yeah.
Evil.
Yeah. I love it. And man, you know when so it, good. Oh man, when that knock came through.
Oh,
damn.
Yeah.
But it's so fun. And I love that even now, that's still some of the most fun you've had because I look back on stuff like this mm-hmm. too, and I'm like, damn. I mean, we all look back on our younger years with nostalgia, but you're like, that was really fun. And I hope so bad that the other people that you did this with also listen to the show and know exactly who they are. And if you do, please send us in your point of view of this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the type of people that play dream phone Ouija board in middle school are our listener base, and I'm proud of that. So thank you, Nicole, for confirming. I didn't know I even was on the lookout for that, but thank you for confirming and for sharing that wonderful I love that nostalgic kind of memory.
I love it. Yes. And also, if you need a Ouija board but you don't have one and you got a dream phone, Nicole's done the hard work for you. She's already laid out how it goes. So
get you a candle and you're all square.
Yeah. One day I will walk into something of this nature happening in Ella's room. I told the other day, she's like, today at school, we made our own divination rods. And then I conducted a ghost hunt. And I was like, oh, God.
I'm going to have to explain that to somebody's parents.
I don't think anything was found. But I love that, you know, her and her little friend were out on recess just making dowsing rods with whatever they could find.
I'm sure as a parent that you feel really, like, good that your child already checked the school out and there's no ghosts up there. So she looked for you. So you know it's clear.
Yeah, they should honestly give her some sort of accolade for
that. Some kids are hall monitors.
She's better. The paranormal monitor.
Exactly. Well, this next one is from Kelly, and the subject line is, who is my doppelganger? G'day, mateys. I listen to your podcast as I drive to and from work and recently caught Freaky Friday episode 61. The story of a doppelganger made me think of my own experiences, which I thought I'd share with you. Back in 92, I was working in Geraldton, locally known as Jarrow, which is a small city in Western Australia. One night, while enjoying some brewskis at the local, a mate rocked up behind me, whacked me upside the head and said, "Oi, you rude bastard. I saw you at the servo. I was driving by. I honked me horn, called out to you, leant into the window and waved g'day, but you shagged me off, pretended you hadn't seen me." I gave him a weird look and said, "Mate, I've been at work all day." He laughed and said, "Well, I'll be buggered who I was overexcited to see then. You think a longtime buddy would be able to tell the difference between me and a stranger?" A couple years later, I moved to Bunbury, another small town in Western Australia. A few months in, my uncle, who lives in Jarrow, called to say, "Aye, you back in town? I saw you down the street today, pushing a pram. When'd you have a squid?" I told him I was still in Bunbury. No, I hadn't pushed one out since I seen him a year ago, and I was at work that day. "Well, I'll be," he replied. "She really looked like you." You think my uncle would be able to tell the difference between me and a stranger? In 99, I backpacked around the U.S. and Canada, staying at hostels along the way. Rocked up to a hostel in New Orleans, and some bloke comes rushing up to me and screams excitedly, "Hey, you're back. Did you change your mind about heading to L.A.?" I replied, "Mate, I only just got here." He stopped in his tracks, raised his eyebrows, and explained, "You talk differently. I found out there was a German chick staying at the hostel for the past week and had moved on the day before I had arrived. Bugger, I just missed meeting my doubles." 11 years on, now living in Perth, capital city of Western Australia, Mum calls to see if I was skittin' work that day. Her and Dad had just seen me at the Wanborough train station. I replied, "I'm at work," which was 50 kilometers away from where they reckoned they saw me. You'd think my parents would be able to tell the difference between me and a stranger. 2 years ago, a workmate asked why I didn't talk to her at the gym that morning. Me, gym, those two words don't go together in the same sentence. Besides, we live at either end of the freeway, so I definitely wouldn't drive that far just for a sweat. You'd think a workmate who you see every day and sit next to you would be able to tell the difference between me and a stranger. So many different people have seen my doppelgangers, and I'm hoping that maybe one day I'll meet her or them too. I wouldn't say I have a common face, but I laugh when people say my daughter looks just like me. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Hopefully you got just as much of a kick out of it as I have over the years. Keep doing what you're doing, love your work, and hopefully you'll make it down under one day for a gig or two. Keep it creepy, Kel.
I would love to make it down under for a gig or two. That is definitely a bucket list. Oh, man. Every time I hear something new about Australia, I sometimes am terrified, but also it just adds more reason why I want to go there. And Kel, I'm on the lookout for your doppelganger. So you got to... We need a picture of you, so then we know if we go, is this Kel or is this Doppels, which I love that we're abbreviating it to Doppels.
It's my Doppels. No, that's it's one thing to say like, oh, you know, I came into a store and the barista is like, oh my gosh, you were just here 30 minutes ago. And it's a person that you don't see every day and you don't know them very well. But when it's like your uncle, your parents, your coworker that you sit near, you're like, I don't think that was me. And they're like, turns out you're rude. And it's like, well, my doppelganger is not even a nicer, better version of me. It's a worse one.
Oh, well, they don't know that the person knows them because they're just living a different life that involves a baby and the gym, I suppose.
Yeah, it's funny to think that the uncle's just like, hi, or the buddy's like, hey, good day, mate. And the person's like, I'm just trying to walk over here. So I hope to, I like to imagine that Kel's doppelganger has been one person that's been hassled this whole time. And then we'll hear this maybe and write in and be like, it was me.
I would love that. I also love the idea of your uncle just being like, when'd you have a squid? like a whole baby was had and he had no idea that it happened.
Yeah, nobody called him for sure. He took it well, though. It seemed like was just genuine surprise and confusion and not bitterness. But, well, thank you, Kel. Let us know if we can help you find your doppelganger or if anybody's ever come up to you and been like, is your name Kel? Are you from Australia? Repeatedly, then you might be the doppelganger. We're going to connect them.
Oh, yeah. We're all about networking. Although... Are you supposed to not meet your doppelganger?
Oh, no. I'm helping Kel out. We'll lure the doppelganger to a location and kill them.
Oh. I'm just kidding. I was thinking it was also probably just a real person that looked like Kel. But if it is an evil alternate universe, like actual evil doppelganger, yeah, I'm on board. If it's just somebody that you happen to look alike, then maybe you become besties.
Yeah, you become friends. You can share outfits because you know what looks good on each other.
There you go. Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, this final one is from Mick Helpless. And the subject line is Hamburglar's Confession. Hello, ladies, pups, pigs, kids, hubbies, and McGruff. In Heather's best radio Delilah voice, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I've learned a lot from both of you along the way, and I can't wait to hear what's to come. Now, on to the McFuckery that's afoot. It was one of those days when I felt the need to deep clean my entire house, and it was stunningly spotless. As a post-clean high-five to myself, I went out with a friend for a couple of beverages over the course of a few hours. Driving home, with a little tingle of a buzz, the lights of that golden M started calling my name. Q McGruff's Don't Drink and Drive, kids. Being the good dog mama I am, I got some nuggies for my boy Utah and a quarter pounder with cheese, fries, and a Coke for me. When I got home, I quickly paid the nug tax and took Utah for his walk. I never locked my back door when I would go out for walks with Utah. This night changed that. We got back, and although everything felt safe, my meal of McHappiness was gone. The empty nug box was still sitting next to my soda, but that quarter pounder with cheese and fries were MIA. Immediately, I FaceTimed my mom and explained what had happened. I walked around the house, looking everywhere while still on FaceTime to prove I wasn't crazy. Garbage? Nope. Fridge? Nope. Oven? Nope. Cupboards, bathroom, laundry room, bedroom, nope, 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 and nope. The only thing missing was my food. I couldn't even smell it anywhere. The next day, at the urging of my mom, I went to the police station. Yes, you heard me. I reported my burger stolen. The very attractive officer of the law took my statement while laughing the entire time. I've never been more embarrassed. He made his notes, and we agreed that if I saw Grimace or Mayor McCheese in the bushes out back, that I would give them a call. Flash forward 2 weeks, and I'm in the kitchen making some tea. Being that I am impatient, I decided that instead of using the kettle, I was going to microwave my water. I opened that microwave door only to realize I was the Hamburglar. It had been there the entire time waiting for me. To answer the burning question everyone has, hell no, I didn't go back to the police station to turn myself in. My McFailure is a secret that will be read at my funeral for laughs one day. XOXO, the Hamburglar. Attached are pictures of Utah, name changed to protect his innocence, and my accomplice in crime, the microwave.
Sis. When I read this, it was at night in bed and Tommy was already asleep and I laughed so hard that I was worried I was going to wake him up because the thought of you having to go to the police station to report this, I'm like, this has to be a Jason Segel movie, right? Like, this didn't actually happen, but it did. And if that officer is single, you got to go back.
Right?
This is your in. This is the making of a great love story.
It's a good meet cute. It's absolutely a good meet cute. It's also such a hard relate to be like, the amount
I thought of you, I was like, Heather would do this.
Oh, I have recently, like, there are times when, like, I'll be like, I lost my coffee. It's gone. I had a coffee and it's like in the microwave or it's like on a shelf somewhere. I just, things end up in like wild places. But especially,
I meant you would go report it.
I was going to say, to the extent to which it's like, well, I think that it's somebody's obviously broken my house. First of all, also, I could have written this. I didn't. I would have told you this. But the fact that you FaceTime your mom, 100% would have FaceTimed Nancy McKinney. Yep, and she would have been like, well, did you look under the cabinet? She would have been so supportive. We would have looked everywhere together. To be fair, though, she probably would have said, check the microwave. But that's okay that your mom didn't. Maybe she wouldn't have. I don't know. And to go and report it, 100%. I fucking came to your house because I thought someone stole the, like, back emblem off my car. And I was like, I think it was stolen. And then Paris was out of town and you and Tommy were out there. And I was like, do you think it was a crime? And Tommy's like, there's just, like, sticky residue. I think it melted off. I was like, oh, okay.
We live on the surface of the sun where car emblems just fall off because it gets so hot.
The adhesive from the factory couldn't hold and it just fell off. I don't know what kind of car I drive anymore. The logo just fell off the back.
It's very easy for me to always pick your car out in a parking lot, though. I can relate to this. I've left things in the microwave many times. Mm-hmm. And like days later, I'll be like, I'll open it and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, forgot about that one, didn't I? And you just toss it right in the trash. But to not have found it that night, when all you want is that quarter pounder in your fries. Oh, man. I sincerely, my heart hurts for you in that moment and how disappointing that is.
I call it getting mouth horny. And it's when you're like yep. primed for that thing and you're like, all I want is just like hot meat and cheese, or I really want this specific nacho, or I really want this specific salad or something. And you get amped for that specific thing and you don't get it. It's like the other night when we tried to order waffles and they didn't bring them. Dude. Or when we ordered cookies and they didn't bring my cookie or my chocolate milk and they brought regular milk.
Yeah. Or your chocolate. We've been on a streak lately of whenever we order food, for some reason, I'm the only one that gets my food and everyone else doesn't get their yeah. food and it sucks. And then I tried to say, I'm being made out to be a villain, to which Tommy said, yeah, you're the victim in this whole
I'm
scenario.
Sitting there with zero cookies and treats and you're like, it makes me look really bad. And I'm like, yeah, that's the hardest part about tonight is that you
Meanwhile, I have five cookies. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just eat my cookies that they got right.
No worries. They're not that great at all. I'm like, why are you moaning if they're not that great? The reason why you only get your food and we don't is because you are a powerful witch.
I would make you everybody get things. It if that's the case.
That's true. I think it's just the fact that it happens. And I ordered the gluten-free yeah. cookie and sometimes they don't have them. And instead of being like, we don't have them, they're like, just send it without. Fuck them.
Yeah, so. For real though. Or just somebody leaves a bag, a driver leaves a bag on a counter or something. Because sometimes it'll be like three meals. Like literally like you yeah. and Tommy didn't get any of your food. And maybe even Paris. And I was the only one. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just eat while no one else has their food.
You're like, this is not great at all. But I mean, it's the chaos of all food delivery. I feel like the companies have made it more difficult on everyone, mm-hmm. both from the driver, the food prep restaurant perspective, and the driver and the customer. We're all just like, none of us are mad at each other. We're all mad at the company who's the middleman in all of this.
And then to get it fixed is such a fucking ordeal.
Every
like
time.
You can't call wherever you're ordering from. It's like nobody wants to deal with it. And I'm like, can I just get my fucking food? Yeah, can my friends get their food and my husband? Yeah, yeah. I already got mine.
Yeah, you're worked up about this, but your appetite's satisfied.
Yeah, I can rationally deal with them because I'm not hangry. So exactly. I have to be the one to call. Gladly and get it all worked
well,
out.
Thank well, you. Well, Mick Helpless, I love you and I relate very hard to you, my dear.
Yes, I love it. Mick Helpless / the Hamburglar. We are often our own worst enemies, aren't we? And this story proves just that.
Oh, man.
Well, and also your pup is Utah, a pseudonym, is beautiful. Oh, what yeah. a sweet little babe. Oh, look at that little tongue hanging out, little mm-hmm. baby.
Looks like the perfect little buddy.
Yes, he does. He looks like a good boy. Well, thank you so much, Utah, for your part in today's Freaky Friday and everyone else that sent in your stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, and you still get an archived bonus content sent out to you once a month just for signing up for free, or you can join one of our tiers and get over 900 hours of various content. We have so many different bits we do.
Our weekly bonus content runs the gamut from Am I the Asshole, Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, Unpopular Opinions, Confessions of Crazy Shit You Did When You Were a Kid, or mm-hmm. That You Did That You Didn't Never Tell Anybody About. Those are always a lot of fun. So check those out, as well as our mini-sodes, ad-free episodes, replays of our live Q&As where all kinds of shenanigans happen.
Yeah, mini-sodes, and of course, the best thing. A community of the best listeners on the internet.
And that we now get to, on the internet, that we get to see in real life sometimes.
And all it does is confirm that you guys are the best, because
exactly.
in person, you're even better than online.
Absolutely. Head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on the website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to leave a review. We would love if you did so. You can also follow us on socials and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those full moon energy tour tickets that we're talking about.
We'll see you on the road. Mm-hmm. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full versions of our Wednesday episodes early and ad-free on Patreon and a few days later on YouTube, as well as clips from Freaky Friday on both YouTube and our TikTok, both at Sinisterhood Podcast. And order custom video shout-outs for yourself over on Cameo. You can have us do Happy Father's Day, Happy Graduation, Happy Summer to a teacher who's having some time off. We do wedding congratulations, happy birthdays, anniversaries, surprises, anything you want us to do. We love to deliver those messages on Cameo. And then when we get to see you in person, to be like, thanks for my Cameo. This is how it went. Yeah, it's so much fun.
I love it. Especially if we get to meet the person that requested Horse Head Lady Body that you got to live out your dream. I can't wait, because you, I feel, will be starstruck the person that allows you to live your dream.
Absolutely. Same with my 420 corn skull. We'll go to cameo.com and order yours now. Christy, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on that internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Yeah.